From your home for goat talk and punching bags for charity,
hey.
This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Eric.
How we doing?
All right.
Yeah, buddy. You a little intrigued? What are we punching bags for charity for, you wonder?
Well, I'm just keeping an eye on the sky, actually.
It looks a touch stormy. It's a Wednesday evening.
Yep.
Yep, there's some storm warnings out. It looks a little gray out there.
A little.
It does,
gray
actually.
Out there, you know.
Yeah, it does look a little
bit.
But
a little gray there.
We'll be all right. If anything happens during the recording, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
You'll hear it. But that's been a good sports week.
Not bad.
You know, can we consider avoiding the heat a sport this week?
Yes.
Okay, then we did okay.
Did we,
avoiding,
though? I don't think we really avoided it.
I work in a restaurant.
As I do.
And I did not. It was 106. It was brutal. It was a very hard work weekend. So I was very, very glad to sit on my couch eventually.
Sunday? You didn't work. You worked Sunday.
I did work Sunday. Sunday was tough, man. Monday was a little okay. Monday was a lot of time spent not moving.
Yeah.
At all. No, that was not a real productive day for me, but that's
not
okay.
Not so much the heat, it's the humidity.
This one was the heat, I think. Yeah, this was brutal.
Yeah, 95 degrees.
You know, so that's the weather.
Yeah.
And the traffic, there's none. So there's that. All right, great show.
Great.
Talking about week of sports.
Yes.
We had the NBA Finals wrapped up on Sunday evening.
Yes, and Game 7 was kind of like a...
Game 7 in all sports is the pinnacle, right? Like,
right.
I would rank NHL playoffs Game 7s, baseball Game 7s above basketball Game 7s because they're not that frequent. This was a fantastic... This series...
It started out all right.
It's you know, the hype for this game had been Indiana is going to make a comeback. The Thunder are going to win on talent. And it looked like we were going to have a great game. All of a sudden, about 10 minutes in, I'd say 10 minutes, Tyrese Haliburton, who has made a real name for himself this playoffs, from winning playoff games to his dad trying to fight Giannis after the game, to injuries, to comebacks. Tyrese Haliburton has been the centerpiece of this NBA playoffs, let alone the finals. He had gotten an injury a week ago or so. And
like three games ago.
Probably should have sat out. We'll call it a game 5.
But the thing is, it's that debate of if he would have sat out, would they have won? Probably not.
Well, game 5 wasn't a must win. They were down. There was two games. They weren't going to lose the series in game 5. He could have sat that one out. Game six was a must win.
He did. Once he injured it, he did sit out the whole game, rest of the game.
And the game 7 rolls along, and he blew out his Achilles injury. It's a really strange phenomenon in basketball that I've really only seen it in basketball lately, where guys, it happened to Damian Lillard.
Yep.
It happened to Kevin Durant a couple years ago. Aaron Rodgers, where guys have a lower leg injury.
Yep.
They have a calf strain. They have a knee issue.
Yep.
They play through it only to blow out their Achilles.
Right.
I don't know enough about physiology. I don't know enough about bodies. I don't know enough
He was not healthy going into game 7.
Correct.
And there was a game time decision. Well, everybody was like, well, he's going to play. It's game 7. You've got to play no matter
that's
what happens.
And he made it 10 minutes in. He scored 9 points in 9 minutes. He looked fantastic. It looked like, oh, this is going to be a game. This one's going to go. It was still a fantastic game, even without Haliburton on the court. The Pacers play a really good team game. They play what if you're any other team, you should be striving to do. They were in the game the whole time. They were within 2 or 3
right.
points the entirety of this game. The Thunder won. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the best guard on the planet, the MVP of the league, became, I believe he was like the second or third player of all time to win the scoring title and an NBA championship, following guys like Kareem and Michael Jordan. So it's pretty rare, the air that he found himself in. It was a fantastic series.
Yeah.
It really does set up Oklahoma City Thunder. For those not in the know, they used to be the Seattle Supersonics.
Yes, great team.
They had a couple of my favorite players of all time played for the Sonics.
Captain Payton.
Yep. Yeah, the only two that I can actually name. Also,
the only ones I picked on and I ever played that game.
That's correct. That's absolutely. I was just going to say, my video game days, I spent a lot of time throwing the Sonics and throwing the Sonics at people. The Thunder, as an expansion team, they had Kevin Durant. When they went from Seattle to Oklahoma City, they had Russell Westbrook. They had James Harden. They had Kevin Durant. They had three players who have separately won MVPs in the league. They traded them all. They traded them all away. They sort of bottomed out. More than sort of. They really did bottom out. To get Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, their best player, was part of a trade where they traded Paul George to the Clippers. And it's turned out really well for them.
And they're also set with picks.
Yes.
Deep. I'm like, all their picks plus other ones, you know? So, yeah.
They have done what, like, it's like a video game where they take assets and they trade them and trade them and trade them to where they've got not only an NBA championship this year, but they've got
backup.
They've got backup plans to backup plans. They have young players who will be getting paid,
right,
that they can choose to not pay because they will be drafting. Oh, they're going to have 7 first-round picks in the next 3 years. They've got 3 this year. They are set up really, really well to have a big three that still can win a championship. And by all accounts, these guys seem to get along.
It was
fun to watch a team be goofy together. When they give interviews, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, like I said, MVP, face of the league, one of the faces of the league. He could selfishly have made the winning the championship and the MVP all about him. This was his time, right? Like, this is your time to get your name out there.
Yep.
During that interview, he brought in as many teammates as he possibly could.
Sure.
That was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a team sport.
It is, and it shows that it's not just LeBron James, right? It doesn't have to just be Kobe Bryant. It doesn't have to just be one guy. It can be an entire team. Indiana is fantastic. They are same thing.
Well, they got close last year too. So.
They were a surprise team last year in beating the Bucks, in making it to the Eastern Finals. Their same team came back, and they still weren't talked about this year as being the best in the East, even. Boston was considered the best team in the East.
They beat them.
They did. Boston, turns out they were missing their star player. They had Jason Tatum was another guy, Achilles injury.
Oh,
it's a tough thing in the NBA. The injury bug can hit harder in the NBA than just about in any other, because there's no backup. The difference between your best player and your 13th best player is so extreme that you will lose games. It's not like the NFL, besides your starting quarterback.
I mean, it is a team sport, but you got to have stars on your team.
You need the stars. So it was great to watch the NBA season sort of finish on a high note. You know, even though the injury to Halliburton happened, getting a game 7, heck, getting a game 7 where both teams scored 100 points. It was the first time in NBA history that a game 7 in the NBA Finals has resulted in either team hitting 100 points.
Oh.
Yeah, as if you're a better, the over. So that kind of tails off your NBA season.
Well, except for tonight.
Except for tonight, we have the NBA Draft, which, as you can tell by the excitement in our voice, isn't nearly as exciting as the NFL Draft.
Yeah, right.
We will talk for months and months and months and months and months, even on a show like today where we're talking the NBA Draft. We could still just as well talk about the NFL
and the mini camps and the
rookies and the draft picks and things like that. But it is the NBA Draft tonight. It starts. It's live. It's a 2-day event. They've taken a cue from the NFL, like every league does. They have realized that people will watch this, even in the NBA, where the biggest picks, the number one pick, has been sort of determined for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg is a 6'7", 6'8".
Just a hair over 18, too.
Yeah, a young freshman this year. He reclassified, so he would normally be like a senior in high school sort of thing. He was a young freshman in college for the NBA is pretty par for the course. If you're the number one pick, there's a pretty good chance you were a freshman.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg was the best player in high school. Went to Maine High School. One of the very rare players who stayed playing for his high school. In high school, you were the the ability to get recruited to a bigger high school to play for a bigger program
sure.
is really, really common.
Right.
It's happened locally with a number of players who like played at Melrose Mindoro get recruited to a big high school.
Yep.
He stayed. He stayed at Maine, was the Gatorade Player of the Year two times in a row, was great in college. He wasn't the Player of the Year in college, but he was locked down. He was a great defender, does a little bit of everything at 6'7", 6'8", sort of has a Scottie Pippen feel to his game. It's not that exciting, but he's going to make a difference for a Dallas Mavericks team, who, if you've been listening to us throughout the year, we've talked about the Dallas Mavericks this year in some really not glowing terms. They managed to, we'll call it, fall forward. They failed forward this year somehow. They traded earlier in the year, they traded Luka Doncic,
yep,
who was inarguably a top five player in the league. You could argue he's a top three player. You might be able to argue he's one of the best, if not the best. Traded him to the Lakers for what felt like pennies on the dollar.
Probably one of the heaviest.
They said he was out of shape. They said he was kind of a lazy superstar.
Which was apparent at the end of the
series. It looked like it at
the
end of, yeah, at the end of the playoffs around Luka Doncic did look a touch out of shape. Didn't look like that superstar, right?
Right.
Didn't look like, oh, you needed him. So they traded him. Their general manager caught a lot of flack. His name is Nico Harrison. He was fireable. You trading a superstar in the prime of his career for not another superstar is not okay. It's so as a result of that, they were trying to lose some games. They managed to lose a number of games, just barely made the play-in tournament for the playoffs this year, which put them at like the 13th best record at the end of the year.
Well, they also lost Kyrie Irving, too.
And they lost Kyrie Irving to an Achilles injury once again. Yeah, somebody will research it somewhere along the lines and try to connect the dots between all these Achilles injuries and NBA players, trying to figure out what is that workout, what is happening that's making this happen. But so they traded their best player. They tanked a season. They somehow fell forward into the number one pick, which if you're a conspiracy theorist, it's happened more than a few times in the NBA that a team has traded players to Los Angeles and come away with the number one overall pick. That is how Anthony Davis originally came into the league with the Charlotte Hornets. Was the same way. They traded Chris Paul to the Lakers, tried to trade Chris Paul, ended up with the number one pick. It's happened a couple times.
Sure.
Same thing, Zion Williams. They traded Anthony Davis and ended up with Zion Williamson. So it happens in the NBA a little more than it should, but apparently it's all luck. But the NBA draft tonight is going to be, it'll be live. It's a whole bunch of talks about length. You're literally going to hear 3-hour talks about people's wingspans. It's akin to the talking about hand size during the NFL combine. You'll hear a lot of talk about, where's this guy going to fit? How's this guy going to fit? It's also the day in the NBA where the most trades happen.
Oh.
It's the most opportunities for teams to make trades. It generally happens right around draft night because
like this one.
What happened in the NBA today?
Yesterday it was Kristaps Porzingis.
Nice, you did it. Yes, Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis.
A former New York Knicks, a former Dallas Maverick, a current who is he playing for this year? Celtics. He was on the Celtics.
He was on the Celtics.
He got traded. The Celtics after they lost their champion after they lost out of the playoffs this year, it was kind of decided they would have to retool. They have a very high payroll. So they made two trades in the last 2 days. 2 days ago, they traded Jrue Holiday.
Oh, I see that.
One of my favorites.
The Blazers.
Was traded to the Blazers, which was interesting because in the Damian Lillard trade, Jrue Holiday was originally traded to the Blazers from the Bucks and then rerouted to the Celtics.
Somebody just really likes him.
What it is Portland has found themselves in they're not quite rebuilding stage, but they're not a playoff team yet. So you're trying to acquire some veteran leadership, and you're looking at a team. Yeah. Yeah, the Rockets made a great trade to get themselves some Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about that at all last week.
No, that would have been the 22nd, so it wouldn't have.
So Kevin Garnett, one of the greatest scorers in the history of the NBA, one of one players to have over the last three consecutive years, 25 points, six rebounds.
Kevin Durant, you mean?
Kevin Durant. Who did I say?
Garrett. Kevin Grant.
Kevin Garnett. I'd rather talk about Kevin Garnett anytime. Kevin Garnett's one of my favorites of all time, Minnesota anyway, Timberwolves. Yep. So Kevin Garnett is undoubtedly one of the greatest players of his generation, has now been traded, I believe it's four times in the last 8 years.
Yeah, probably.
He's started out, like I said, he started out with Oklahoma City.
Yep.
He went to Golden State.
Yep. He won a championship.
He did. Went to the Brooklyn Nets to team up with Kyrie Irving.
For 2 years?
Yes, correct. That did not work.
Nope.
And now he's on to...
He was at the Suns.
Went to the Suns to team up with Bradley Beal to win themselves, and Devin Booker win themselves a championship.
That didn't work.
Did not work. They traded five first-round picks to get Kevin Durant. They now traded him in the offseason here for... It was a... It certainly isn't. It's Jalen Green, yep, who is a near all-star player.
Yeah.
They traded the number 10 pick in the draft.
Yep. And five second rounds.
And five second round picks, which seems like a lot, but second round picks generally do not make your roster. They're very much akin to like a sixth round pick in the NFL. Yeah. They're draft sweeteners, they're trade ups, but a lot of these second round picks, you'll draft players that are playing abroad, who never even make an appearance for your team. So Kevin Durant is now going to be playing for the Rockets.
Who else is on the Rockets right now?
Right now, you've got an Alperen Sengun, you've got a Fred VanVleet, you've got Jabari Smith. Rockets last year, no, James Harden plays for the Clippers, I want to say, I think, but he's not on the Rockets. The Rockets won 50-some games this year. They were the number two seed in the West.
Right.
They were positioned well. They were positioned pretty well this year to trade for a Kevin Durant. They really were. It's not very often that you get a chance to add a Hall of Fame player. And when it was quickly realized amongst the NBA that Giannis Antetokounmpo was not going to be traded off of the Bucks. If you were a team looking like you were one tall player away, one big guy away,
one shooter,
one scorer away, Kevin Durant becomes that guy. So he was traded. The Rockets, as good as they were this year, kind of flamed out in the playoffs because that team that you're seeing in front of you is a lot of young players.
Yep.
They've drafted really well.
Except for Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is still in the league. Yeah, he's been around for about 15 years. Fred VanVleet's been around for quite a while, but everybody else on the team is like under 25.
Sure.
Which is good for building a team, but once in a while you need that guy. You need to be able to... They found out that Jalen Green, the guy who they thought was the guy, was just some guy. So they needed the man, and they traded for Kevin Durant. I really want to just go home and watch some Kevin Garnett highlights. Clearly, that's what I'm going to do this evening.
Okay.
So the NBA draft comes and goes. It's a really interesting thing where you're drafting.
Unless you're like in the top five.
Yes.
It's more like prospects.
Very much prospects, because you're drafting. In the NBA and the NFL, there's one feeder league to get to the NFL. There's college. If you didn't go to a Division I college, you're probably not going to play in the NFL. In the NBA, you could play in Italy. You could play in Greece. You could play in Spain. You could play in the G League. You could play in college. And they all get sort of lumped into the same. So you're not kidding. After about five or six picks in, even when you look at the draft this year, you get about five or six picks in, and you can't really guess.
Right.
You've got guys like Dylan Harper, who's a 6'4 point guard out of Rutgers. His teammate Ace Bailey is a 6'8 shooting guard. He looked really good, but he was a guy who decided not to work out for anybody, which is an interesting choice.
Or interview
with anybody, which is amazing. You've tried to get a job before. You ever tried to get a job without an interview? Hard to do. Unless you're just awesome, right?
Well,
you know, it doesn't happen very frequently. Hmm. For me, honestly, a lot of these guys don't do much for me. You're looking at a lot of prospects. There's one name on here that isn't Cooper Flagg that interests me. Hmm. And his name is Con Canapel. He went to Duke. He's a 6'5" shooter who is from Wisconsin. That, to me, he played high school at the state of Wisconsin.
Oh.
He went from being a pretty good... He was a guy who was considered to be a Wisconsin Badger prospect in his junior year of high school, which, if anybody knows, means he was pretty good, but nothing special. He went from between his junior and senior year, he gained about 3 inches, started going on the AAU circuit, and became a top 10 high school prospect over the course of a year. So he went from being able to... He might have gone to Minnesota Gophers. He might have gone to Wisconsin
Probably
Badgers.
Not.
He could have absolutely. He wasn't considered an elite prospect. But throughout the course of a summer, Duke offered him, and as soon as that happened, you thought, oh, that guy's an NBA player, because Duke only recruits NBA players. So for me, Con Canapel is a guy, he's a prototypical, he's 6'5" shooter. You know, it's a thing where most teams can use a guy like that. That's interesting to me. Amongst the other players that are in there, you're looking at, you know, there's not a lot of names for people who paid attention in the Big Ten necessarily. The one named John Tonji, who is the Wisconsin Badgers' best player this year. He was averaging 20 a game. He looks like he will be drafted as a second rounder. It's not very frequently that my favorite college gets guys in the NBA that actually make an impact.
Yeah.
Johnny Davis made the league, but he hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
It's his fourth year in the league at this point. If he plays for Washington, a team that really struggled. If he was going to be something, he would have been something. Sam Decker, same thing. Wisconsin, he was a lottery pick and is currently playing somewhere overseas.
That's not the worst.
I mean, he's still playing. You're right.
You're playing in your own Europe?
Frank Kaminsky was the Naismith Player of the Year in college. Yep. He was the best player in all of college basketball. He was a number 6 pick in the draft by Charlotte.
Playing?
He's still playing, but he's not, you know, those are my Badgers. If you make a list of Badgers in the league,
right,
it's pretty slim.
Yeah.
It's a pretty short list. There'll be one. Give me a John Tonji. He's actually right in that range where the Bucks have a pick in the second round, pick like 47 or so.
Sure.
I would like that. That would work out great for me.
Yeah.
Second round picks are real. Throw a dart, get lucky. I would like to be able to root for somebody. Like, John Tonji provided me a ton of fun this year watching the Badgers. So I would like to see him drafted perhaps by...
Because Dame Lillard ain't coming back anytime soon.
No. The Bucks are going to struggle this year because they're basically the same team.
Who's their coach?
It's me. I'm just going to coach him this year. I'm gonna move Doc Rivers back to the booth. Doc Rivers is going to be here next Friday doing this view from the bleachers. I'm just going to coach the Bucks instead. I don't feel like that's much of a downgrade for anybody at this point. No, Doc Rivers is still the coach. He's a guy who could be fired anytime right now.
Won't.
Maybe halfway through the season. Maybe when they're 15-25, they can fire Doc Rivers.
If Giannis stays.
Giannis is going to stay. He would have wanted to be traded. He would have traded him before today. Like, literally, they'll trade him during the draft because there's teams that can make that trades and offer, hey, the 15th pick in the draft and this and this and this.
He's a pretty loyal guy.
The way
interviews and everything. Because he's got his whole family is living in Milwaukee.
He really seems to take, and it's, of course, like, we don't know. I've never met him. But when he talks in interviews, he talks about how the Bucks took a chance to bring a guy from Greece that had never played in the NBA, that wasn't looked at as he is now, and they brought his entire his two brothers, his sister, his parents, they brought them all, and that to me that means something to him, which is nice to see. There will also come a time where, just like in the NFL, we're like, man, that dude's making so much money, I wish he would win something for us. It was like that with Rodgers. You hit a guy, you're like, hey, you make $60 million a year. Can you win something, please? Giannis will hit that stage in a year or three.
If he hasn't already?
Where, for me as the fan, where I'll say, what am I getting out of this? What am I? Yeah, we've got the best player, but he's, they're the fifth team in the West, in the East every single year. You know,
if they're any higher, they're just losing the first round.
That's
anyway.
A Kevin Garnett. To me, that's what happened to Kevin Garnett. It took Kevin Garnett having to leave Minnesota to become a champion.
That sucked.
Giannis has luckily won that championship. Yeah, no, that one burns me up too. I was a big Kevin Garnett, as you can tell, because I talk about him every single episode accidentally.
Okay.
So that'll be the NBA draft. That'll be 2 days of. And it'll be more interesting to me. The draft is irrelevant because I don't know enough about the specific players. I could bore us both listing off the players, the top 10 prospects. But for me, it's how do these teams start changing? You'll see some teams draft a guy, and then they can make a trade the next day. So that'll be interesting to me, at least. Coming up in the next week, I'll be watching when I get home tonight. I'll pay attention a little bit to the trackers to see. Cooper Flagg was officially made the first pick of the draft. So that'll be everything happening in the NBA for at least a little bit.
Yep.
What else?
I don't know, but you got 2 minutes left.
That
two
was
and a
it?
Half.
Oh, you know what happened today?
Huh?
Today, Wednesday. Paul Skeens for the Pittsburgh Pirates and Jacob Mizorowski, the Brewers pitcher, who is just a beast. They pitched against each other tonight.
Oh.
This afternoon. They were a 1 o'clock start. It was, and I know it's kind of a funny stat, but baseball's full of funny stats.
Yes.
It was the highest average speeds that pitchers have ever thrown against each other. That was it. Both players are 100 mile an hour. Mizorowski pitched 10 pitches over 100 miles an hour, and the Brewers won.
Oh.
But it was really, really. I was watching some of that, listening on the radio. You're watching two guys, both of them in their young 20s, division rivals. It was really kind of fun to watch because, like I said, the Brewers over the last 35, 40 games have been the best team in the baseball. To go from being super underwhelming for the first third of the season, these last chunk, they've been the best team in baseball. They had nine pitchers on the disabled list. They're down to like two or three.
Oh, good job.
Aaron Ashby came back. He's been their guy that can pitch three innings at a crack. You know, he pitched the sixth, seventh, eighth inning of games, pitched the last three of a blowout, been really, really valuable. Looks like Brandon Woodruff is going to be coming back in the next month or so. He's had rehab starts all over the place.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I haven't been optimistic about the Brewers all year, and I'm not going to start now.
Because
I got to be realistic. But the bottom half of that lineup that I was talking about, if can somebody please hit over 225? They now have two guys. The bottom of their lineup is solidly hitting 230.
30 seconds.
Oh, man. Nope. Christian Yelich is playing like an all-star. Really strange to see, but it's happening right in front of our eyes. We're going to talk more about that next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great weekend. Hope everybody does, too. Thanks, DERT, for opening up the doors. Thank you for pushing buttons.
Hey.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.